We're going to start a new series this morning. It's going to be a long, long, long series. So just want to let everybody know that. Not all today. It's not going to be long, long today, but it's going to take some time to do because we're going to start today. Let me go ahead and pull it up while I'm talking. So just give me a minute here to get it up for you. There we go. That's what we're going to be talking about, the words of Jesus. So now can you understand why it's going to be long? So we're going to study every word that he's ever said. So it's going to take some time. And not only we're going to look, we're going to understand, the title is Understanding the Words of Jesus. And why do we need to do that? And so we're going to answer that by John 6:63. Now, everything that I'm going to do in this series, all the words of Jesus, how many's ever seen a red letter edition of the Bible? They have red letter editions. Well, we're going to put it in red so everybody knows when I'm quoting Jesus, it'll be in red. And everything else will stay regular. But this is one of his sayings right here. It said, "It is the Spirit who gives life." The Spirit gives life. "The flesh profiteth nothing." I don't think that's hard to understand. What do you get from the flesh? Nothing. So we're talking about the end game. You can get something from the flesh momentarily, but it's not done last. Remember, that's the thing that Brother Herman was talking about last night. It's just to get a little bit, and it feels good, but then what? The whole theme is that we understand we're talking about eternal life here. How do you get that? Well, he said this, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So that's something we need to pay attention to because he said, "The words that I've spoken to you." Think about that. So if the words that he spoke to us, they are spirit and they are life. We need to make sure we understand those words. So we're going to take our time. There's going to be no rush. It's going to take 2 years at least. How many got 2 years to give me? Think about that. 2 years at least for us to get through this. But I want to take my time. I told Brother Josh this morning, we were talking, and you got to give special attention to this. Because they're important. The problem, I'm about to give you the reason the church is in the shape it's in today. How we can be swindled and you don't even know what's God anymore. There's a reason for it. Because we don't listen to what our master said. We don't listen to what he says. I dare say there are people who are church attenders here and other places that I can quote things that Jesus said and you won't even know it was him that said it. And that's a problem because you don't know if it's him said it or somebody else said it. I also want to tell you that people in church today go off of what man says more than what Jesus said. That's a problem because man can lead you wrong. Listen, don't take my word for it. You check out everything. It'll all be up here to be posted. Check out everything we say. And make sure we're not misquoting what Jesus said. We got to take this serious. If you want to link all the problems of the world that we have today, after Christ came and paid the price in full and gave his words to us, the problems in the world should have got less. But they increase rapidly. Why? Because we don't listen. We don't listen to what he says. Personal in your life. Let's get down to you sitting here individually on these seats today. If you took the time and studied what he said to you, Do you believe what he said here? The words that I've spoken, they are spirit and they are life. He teaches you everything you need to know. Remember, he's the way to the Father. He's the way to the Father. If we don't follow him, we'll never get there. If he's the way, how can we say we're going to get there if we don't follow him? Think about that. Because we do good things, we attend church. What does that have to do with it? Do you follow him? Do you do what he says? He said this in another passage, and we'll get on all of these. He said, if you say that you love me, but why don't you do the things I say? See, we can have love, and it can be superficial love. If you can ask people, you poll people, you love Jesus, oh yeah, I love Jesus, then my question is, if you love him, why don't you do what he says? As parents, you try to bring your children up right, and you tell them, this, I don't want you to do this. And they go on and do the opposite of what you say. And they get in trouble for that. But when they do what you say, it brings pride to you. You're so happy that they listen to you. I want to know what are we bringing to the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. What does he think when we mistake him, misquote him, and just do what we want to do? And he looks at I didn't tell him to do that. They're not listening to what I said. Now, whatever he said must have been right. It had to be right. Because they took him off the cross and put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So I would say what he said matters. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, one day, is going to quicken us. Now, it won't quicken us if we don't do what he says. How many understand that? Don't be confused. There's nobody who just, well, God feels sorry for you and you're going to make it. He says, listen to what he says, do what he says, and that same spirit that quickened him and changed him, it'll change you. So this is going to be an important time for the church. Very important. Not just this church, but church everywhere. We're going to take our time. I was in a... We already went over some of these things, was going through it, but the attention that needed to be, and the care that needed to be put into this wasn't there. And the Lord said, you have to do this again. How many know sometimes we think we're doing it right, but we're not. And when the Spirit of the Lord deals with you and say, hey, you got to do this again, pay attention, give careful attention to this. And so that's why we're doing it again. Because it's important to us to understand this. Now, we're going to take our time through this. The first thing we're going to be dealing with is the birth narratives. Because we don't even, you know, I want to show you in the scripture, we got to get him on the scene. Now, we know in time, he's already come, he's already been born, he's already died, he's at the right hand of the Father. We know that, we're waiting him coming back again. We know that's where the church is positioned. But as this study goes along, we're going to go back and rewind in history, and we're going to look at when this all took place. When did this actually take place is where we'll start. And we're going to take it through in chronological order. So we're going to take our time, and as he grew, we're going to the teaching's going to go along in chronological order so you see it. So we'll do the birth narratives. We'll get through that. It's going to take a few weeks to do that, and then we'll get to the age of 12. Because at the age of 12 is when he spoke his first words. Isn't that something? So even though his ministry launch, when he started, where he started performing miracles, happened at age 30, at age 12 he said something that we need to listen to the 12-year-old. We really need to listen to it. So some may say, well, does it have to be that detailed? Well, I think it does. If he put it in the scripture, we ought to be studying it. We ought to ask the question, why did he put it in the scripture? And this is going to be important to you. So there's going to be no rush here. We're going to take our time. We're going to try to get it done on Saturdays and Sundays, and we're going to work through this series. And I can tell you, it's important. I can't even stress how important it is for the church, talking about this church, to be attentive to this series. Make it your business to be here best you can. Hey, I think we're the most understanding church there is. If you got something going on, that's fine. But if you don't have nothing going on, it's not fine. Very important to be attentive. Make sure that you're there when you can be. And so this is going to be a value to you, a valuable lesson. If you don't make it, you can't make it, you just have something going on, then get the CD or go and listen online. It doesn't cost anything. That way, when you come the next time, you didn't miss three parts. Because I can tell you, if you miss three parts, you will not get the scope of the capacity of what this series can do for you. If you listen to this series, it'll change your life forever. What you thought you knew about God, what you thought you knew about why did he give these words. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, these words are not my words. I asked the question, well, whose words are they? He said, I speak the words of my Father. What? So in this series, the speaker is going to be God. Think about that. Who spoke through his only son to a dying world with no hope, none whatsoever. He said, I'm going to provide you a way out. I'm going to send a savior for you. And he'll save humanity from their sins. Well, we get that part. That's the part we get. Because nobody wants to die in their sin, especially when they get closer to death. And some people get a chance to kind of rationalize this, but some die instantly. What about those folks? What do they do? Some of your friends and family, that happens too. And we all show up and we don't know, we can't even explain how we feel because it's so emotional. So we have a job to do, and that's to teach the scripture and make sure we teach it plainly with simplicity so everyone can understand it. Valuable lesson. And so after Christ comes and he's given this hope, this opportunity is given to the world, what does he expect from us? What about his life? In his death, what does he expect from us? That we adhere to it. That we trust in him. That we rely on him. Because we're not just going to kind of slip in. You got to know. I put one slide up and it said the last one. I'll never get to it today, I know. But not the last one of the whole series, just my part this morning. It's some buried deep down in the 70-something slides away. But it says, know the rules. Just know them. How do you know the rules unless we're listening to the one who lived the rules out so perfect that death couldn't even hold him? Death couldn't hold him. Had nothing to grab onto. So when I die, what is death going to have to grab onto? Is he going to grab on to my inconsistencies? My being impatient? Is he going to grab on to those things? Or am I going to say, Lord, I know that I fail in these areas, and I'm going to ask you to help me as I study these scriptures out. That's going to be important to you. So we're going to take some time to go through this. We're going to look at the birth narratives first. So I'm excited that you're here. We appreciate you for being in the house of the Lord with us today. We just finished that Galatians series. Took us almost a year to do that. And that was a fantastic series. I tell you what, you got to go back and remind yourself of those things because it'll be helpful to you. So how many ready to take on this series, Understanding The words of Jesus. Here we go. The lineage of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, from a narrative of Matthew and Luke. The narrative of Matthew and Luke. So we're going to be studying Matthew 1, 1 through 25, and Luke 1, 1 through 80. So we'll see how far we can get on this. I'm just going to read the text. I want to make sure that everybody understands the text in its context. So we're not going to separate it. So we kept it in its entirety so we see what's happened here. So let's begin. Before we go, we're going to ask God just to minister his word to us. I did it already on my behalf. I said, Lord, I'm humbled to take the time that to be able to be a part of this. It doesn't have to be me necessarily. It could be any person. But Lord, I'm glad I get a chance to participate. And I want to be a participant that gives my heart to it. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And that's what I told him today. So I'm going to give you a chance today to do the same thing. Let's stand together and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you today. We honor you today. And we present our lives to you. Our hearts are fresh. We clean the slate. And we say, Lord, we want to hear from you. Your word become real to us. We're going to study out the words of your only son. He said the words that he spoke were your words. Therefore, we take this directly from you and we're honored by it. And we believe if you said it, you mean what you say. And you want us to live by those words. So we ask you, Lord, that the soil, though it's been crusted over many times and hardened, we break up the fallow ground today. And we declare, Lord, your word will be sown on good ground that will bring forth fruit in its time. I thank you, Lord, that the people's hearts are ready to receive the word of the Lord today. And we thank you for it. So we ask that you would guide our thoughts, guide our lips. As our breath breathes through, Lord, it only speak the words that you declare. And to do it the way that you want it. We thank you for that. So we honor you today, giving you all the glory in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. We honor you today. Amen and amen. Now I'll make references throughout the service. We're going to be talking using for the name of God, Yahweh. We'll use for the name of Jesus, Yeshua. And I'll make reference from time to time from that. Most of you know what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, they'll be up on the overhead for you to look at. The book of the generation of Yeshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Think about that. Just right off the bat. He said, the book of the generations. Now, that doesn't mean a lot, but later on, give me time to read this. I'm going to read to you about the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman, how God took such great care and how he protected the seed of the woman. We'll look at that in Genesis in a little bit. So the book of generations of Yeshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zohar of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah. And Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah. And Uzziah begat Jonathan, and Jonathan begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekiah, and Ezekiah begat Manasseh. And Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josiah. And Josiah begat Jeconias, and Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after that, they were brought to Babylon. Jeconias begat Salealtiel, and Salealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azar, and Azar begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Miriam, which is Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, who is called the Messiah. How many thank God for that? Now, there's a reason the names have been put in there. Because you can go back in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, and you can trace back every one of those kinfolks that go back to what we just described to you in the Scripture. Because God protects the seed. He always does. When it seems like the seed's in trouble, let me just interject a little bit here in this protection. I read to you how that Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. Now, the one that he begat was of Ruth. I remember Ruth was a Moabitess, not even allowed in the house of God. But God, when he moves in and grace is established and people get a hold to, you remember the famous words of Ruth? Your God will be my God. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. I'm committing my life. She came out of a pagan system and stepped into what God had planned and purpose for her. And eventually Jesse was born. And then we got King David, of whose throne Messiah there would be no end. Isn't that amazing? That's the hand of God. So let me just tell you, God went through great length to make sure that when the seed came from Mary, it would be the right seed. He put all those names in there for a reason. Very important for us to understand. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Messiah are 14 generations. Now the birth of Yeshua Messiah was on this wise. Now I want to emphasize the birth of Messiah. Yeshua Messiah or his genesis. This is his beginning or his genesis. Very important for you to understand that. When his mother Miriam was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. What is the Holy Spirit? That's the power of God that is supplied to us to accomplish that which we couldn't accomplish by ourselves. I mean, thank God for Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. And you shall be endued with power from on high. I mean, thank God. Same power. No different. So this is it's so much power in the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, that it's got the ability to have a virgin give birth to a child without the help or aid of a human man. That's a lot of power. It's never been done ever. It's the first time. This is history making right here. Isn't that amazing? Our Savior, a miracle in the womb. Thank God for the miracle in the womb. Amen? Now, same thing that happens for us. If we want that, how many of us felt, man, I'm trying to serve God and it just seems to be so hard. You need to be endued with power. You get this in power and you fall in love with it. You cherish it. You respect it. You honor it. You weep over it. Your life will change. Holy Spirit comes. And you don't have respect for the Holy Spirit. You don't weep over him. You don't expect it's gone. You want it. It's available to you. How many want? No, we need this. I always think about the problems that you have in church or the family problems that people have. I wonder about those things. And I'm thinking, well, they think, well, we need somebody to check on them and see what's going on. The Holy Spirit's always there. When Brother Josh can't get to the phone, or I can't get to the phone, or anybody else can't fix, the Spirit's there. Been with you the whole time. If you want the help, the comfort that comes by being filled with the Spirit, it's available. And let me tell you, that's the first thing we got to get, because God's not going to, He's a jealous God, and He won't let you feel better about somebody else being your helper than Him being your helper. Once you get that figured out, He'll let other people surround you and uplift you. But we so prone to want somebody to be there that we don't have, we rather have them than the Holy Spirit. I told Brother Josh about my side notes. I'll never finish. Then Joseph, I told him like this. I said, you know, brother, some of this stuff you can't write down. It just come on you and you'd say it, but what we got to do is get back to the text. So every now and then you're going to hear me. Okay, we got to get back to the text. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mine to put her away privately. Now we know that a public example would have been she'd have been stoned. That's the Jewish law. Didn't want to get her stoned, but she's somehow pregnant and I didn't do it. And they're espoused. Different than, see, engagement today don't really mean nothing. Engagements means this: until the day I could get out of it. Not in Bible days. Espousal meant you're married already, you just hadn't been together. That's what it meant. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam, thy wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is of Holy Spirit. Think about now. He's trying to relieve Joseph of the stress he's under. And what does he tell him? How does he relieve his stress? Don't worry about it, son. What's happening to your wife is by Holy Spirit. Okay, I was getting nervous here. What did that take out? Another guy. You see, it relaxed him. Now watch this. And he didn't stop there. And she shall bring forth a son. This is before they got the little gel on your belly thing, whatever that's called. What is it called? Ultrasound. Before ultrasound, God knows everything. He don't need gel. He don't need a machine. And watch what he says. And she shall bring forth a son. Isn't that amazing? And thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, think about that. That's he shall save his people from their sin. What is he here for? Save the people from sin. Now, Joseph's listening to this. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of Yahweh by the prophets, saying, this is spoken by the prophets, this is what they say, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, you just called his name what? Yeshua. Now we call it his name Emmanuel. I'm going to ask you, did he get his name first before this declaration? His name's what? Yeshua. That's his name. But then he said, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is El, God, with us. Think about that. It's not saying that he's God. It's saying that God is on our side. And how many know you got to have him on your side? If you don't have God on your side, things are going to be in a bad way quick. Think about this. So, El with us. Now, I'm going to give you the places, Isaiah 7. Because it says this was spoken by the prophets. I'm going to give you those places. Spoken by the prophets. Well, here it goes. Isaiah 7, verse 10. Moreover, Yahweh spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of Yahweh, thy Elohim. Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. Now, you got to understand this situation. They're up against it, and they're about to lose out. Isaiah's prophesying the whole house is going to be destroyed. You're going to lose out. And so they want to know, should we do this or shall we not? And he said, hear now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my Elohim also? Verse 14, therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. What's the sign? This is in Isaiah's time. Yahweh, so it means two different things. This means it's for the condition that they're in then, and a prophetic condition, which I just read about. So two things are spoken in this one verse. One is for right then and there. The other one is prophetic at another time, which we're reading about back in the New Testament. So what's happening? Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I mean, see that. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Think about that. What is he going to know to do? Refuse the evil and choose good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and to choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So he's giving them some warning here in Isaiah that this land is going to be forsaken before the child can get to be of age. But the problem that they were faced with, that we have no hope. Yahweh says, I'm going to show you some hope. Here's the hope. Listen to me careful. A child's going to be born. And you call his name Emmanuel, which means I'm on your side. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? It's what he said. Emmanuel says, I'm on your side. Sometimes you got to reiterate to people that when you got God on your side. How many's ever been in life's game and it felt like you were losing? But he doesn't say anywhere where you wouldn't feel like you was losing. Sometimes you get squeezed a little bit. You get crushed a little bit. How do you get the oil from the olive? How do you get the anointing? You crush it. Nobody wants to go through the crushing, the squeeze. Nobody wants that. But that's what brings out the juices of the olive. It's the oil. It's the anointing of God. You've been through something. You've been squeezed a little bit. It's how you act when you're being squeezed that determines the outcome of your future. Some people bail and quit. The moment you squeeze them, you can't squeeze them at all. They quit. Well, let me tell you this. The nation's being quit. The house of David's being squeezed here. They're up against it. And you know what God says? Listen, let me just remind you. You're going through this squeeze because I allowed this squeezing. If I didn't want it, the enemy, I can destroy them all. But I'm allowing you this squeezing. And just a reminder, I just want you to know, a child's going to be born. A son. You're going to call his name Emmanuel. When that son comes, and it was a real son, you call his name Emmanuel, that's the proof that what I said is a fact. I'm on your side. We have to ask the question, when that Emmanuel was born in Isaiah, was he God? Call it, El is with us, doesn't mean that he is God. Do you understand that? This is easy to understand stuff. But we've, over the years, we take what man says, and we run with that. We don't have no problem. We'll run wide open when it comes to what God says. We want to kind of mosey along there. Why don't we start running what God says? If I clearly show you what God wants from us, would you run with it? Would you take it and say, you know what, I'm going to run with that. Well, I'm going to say what God said. You can't get yourself in trouble if you're quoting him. It's when we quote man is when we get ourselves in trouble. We want to quote all these famous people back in the day, in the history. Well, that's fine. They were great people. And I hope they understood the truth. But we're here and now. We're living in a different time. And let me tell you, we're living in a time where the squeeze is really getting tight. We got to understand, no matter what we go through, if you can't serve God when it's good, when you're not under the squeeze, when the squeeze comes, you're not going to make it. It's just that plain simple. You won't make it. When you get squeezed, you're going to start blaming God. Why are we with us? And Ahaz said, why do we weary men? You want to weary God also? Is that what we hear, to weary God? God said, listen, that's okay. Hey, let me tell him. Let me just tell him. And he spoke the word. He said, a child's going to be born. A virgin's going to give a child. Think about that. Very important for us to understand. The next part in Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not. This is what we're referencing here. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. How incredible is that? I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I don't know if that encourages you, but that right there makes you want to shout hallelujah. Sometimes we forget that he's with us. And we're in this battle. We're alone. We're fighting this thing. Let me tell you, every time you're fighting in a battle, just remember that verse right there. Don't fear. I'm with you. I'm standing right here, and if I thought you couldn't make it, I would step in and rescue you. But you're going to be fine. Sometime we got to learn how to walk on our own two feet. That way when it gets tough and things start to fall around us, we'll stand up and say, God is God no matter what. And so this is what happens. So this is important to us. It's important to the church. It's important to us as believers. God only knows how tough it's been for you in your life. But he's trying to tell you. Sometimes we forget. We like Brother Herman said last night, we forget the fundamentals. This is fundamental right here. Fear not, I am with thee. Emmanuel. That's what it means. God is with you. I'm thankful that he's with me. Wherever I go, listen, this is just a place we came. This is a building. There's nothing special about this place. There's nothing special. Know what's special? You are. You're special. You want to know why God shows up in this place to touch your life and to bring forth the word? Not because of the building. We make the buildings pretty and we want to make them fancy, but it's not because of that. He's doing it because of you. You think he sent his only son so they can save the temple? What happened to the temple? It was destroyed. Jesus himself said, not one stone will be left on another. It will all be destroyed. I didn't come here for this temple. I came here for you. Think about that. He loves us. We got to figure out who we love or what we love. Because one thing's for certain. We are missing something when there's a constant struggle. When you read this verse, it makes you want to sing. When the singers get up here, you want to sing when you read that. You want to praise him. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When God gives his right hand and upholds you with the right hand, you are well taken care of. You better believe that. And that should pump everybody up in here. We ought to be excited about it. So this is the prophecy that we just read to you in that Matthew account. Let's finish Matthew. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yahweh had bidden him. How many the Lord ever spoke to you in the night season? If he did, when you raised from that sleep, do what it's happened, whatever was said to you, do it. And that's one of the things I want you to take from that. He did as the angel of Yahweh had bidden him and took unto him his wife. In verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Yeshua. Reiterated. How many times she called his name Yeshua? Twice. Twice. Called his name Yeshua. And then the prophecy said, there was just a prophecy. That was Isaiah's account. Isaiah's account proves that what he was saying, God with us, was saying, I'm on your side. Don't forget, the enemy might be encamped all around you, but I'm on the team. Think about that. That'd be like having Michael Jordan play for the fifth graders. That's their go-to guy. They had two fifth grade teams, and we got Michael Jordan on the fifth grade team. I want to ask you, who's going to win? The one with Michael Jordan or the one without? The ones without ain't even going to shoot the ball. They're just going to be looking at him. Man, Michael Jordan. But that's what they would do. They'd just be amazed. Got a paper and pen, Michael Jordan. This is the church don't do anything. We got the Most High God, and nobody's got, oh, it's Most High God. That's what we got to get back to, the simplicity. We got to have childlike faith. Unless you have that type of faith, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. You won't enter. Childlike faith, just running. God, can you believe it? We got God on our side. But we're losing. That's what you're losing. Really? Are we losing? This is just momentary. Paul said this. These afflictions are just momentary, just a little bit. But what I'm looking to, it exceeds, I can't even describe how it exceeds it so much more. I'm so glad to go through these momentary afflictions, because if I hang in there, the prize is worth it all. That's important. It's valuable to all of us, and we have to grab hold to this. Amen? All right, Luke. We got through Matthew. Praise the Lord. Luke 1, verse 1. For as much, I was just trying to get through the beginning of Matthew. How many know that Matthew beginning, the begets? We turn that page and go to the next one. I said, man, Lord, I want to at least try to read it. But let me tell you, it's tough. So I'm glad I got through Matthew. I was sweating on Matthew. Verse number 1, for as much as many have taken in the hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now notice his introduction is absolutely phenomenal. It's fantastic how he approaches this. Watch what he says. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So notice what he's saying. They're ministers of the word. Now watch this. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first. Having what? Perfect understanding of these things. That gives me confidence, because I'm about to read what he's talking about. And what does he have? Perfect understanding of these things. So I believe we're going to get an accurate account of what happened. Because we got to remember, you got to understand about accuracy. If you were told a story, say you were told a story. You wasn't there. But somebody said, hey, man, did you see? No, I wasn't there. Oh, well, let me tell you what happened. And they told you. And then you're going to tell three other people. By the time we get to the third person, you told. You wasn't an eyewitness. You was told by an eyewitness. And they told you. By the time we get to the third person, they may not be as accurate. Let me understand that. That was called some game you used to play, down the road game or something. And you talk with one, tell them something. By the time it gets over there, it's whatever, you know. So what is it called? Telephone. That's more modern time. Huh? Gossip? That might be more real today. I think it was like down the road or something like that. Anyway, so how many get my point that we got an accurate account because we have this coming from a what? Eyewitness account. So we're going to get first-hand information. So, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Notice that. This is important. The very beginning of Luke, you got to understand it. And when I was growing up, nobody read the beginning really emphasized this, because we just wanted to get to the birth narratives. And when Herod, in the time of Herod and all that stuff. So we kind of just didn't even bother. But we need to bother, because listen what he says, because I'm telling you this is an accurate account. that thou mightest certainly know those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Notice that. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all commandments and ordinances of Yahweh, blameless. I don't know. I might have to read that one again. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all commandments and ordinances of Yahweh, blameless. You ever wonder why God used them? That's why. Think about that. We're talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth right now. And they had no child. No child. Because that Elizabeth was barren. Think about that. And they both were now well stricken in years. Well stricken in years. He's trying to get the picture to us that, you know, time was quickly fading for them to have children. Barren, well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before Elohim in the order of his course. Now you got to get this. In the order of his course. Because this is important. The order of his course, meaning Zechariah was a high priest. And he had a course, an order, and he had to maintain that order. All the priests would show up for Passover and unleavened bread. They were all there. But after that, they had a course to keep. And he was of the course of Abiah. Abiah. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of Yahweh. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So they're in prayer. He's in there doing what he has to do. It's his job. Now, remember, where Elizabeth lived, their home, was about 5 to 7 miles away from where his work was. I want you to keep that in mind because you're going to need to know that later on. And there appeared unto him an angel of Yahweh standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, you remember that, if you remember the picture that in your mind, the way the layout of the tabernacle was. They entered in, and when they entered into the tabernacle, there was an altar of incense. And they had the table of showbread. All of those things were there. The candles were there. Before you passed that and went into the holies of holies where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was. So he's there and he's doing his job. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard." Notice that. "Fear not, for thy prayer is heard." Now the angel comes and pay a visit to you. Back then, folks knew something was up. But what he was there for is because his prayer had been heard. Isn't that amazing? His prayer has been heard. "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." So what was he praying for? He was praying for some children. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife's going to bear you a son. Isn't that amazing? Now, a man, if there was no son born, then his legacy, everything about him, it just kind of ended. There was no son. So it was something that, especially the priest, he would want to have a son. Because who would be next in line for the priesthood? His son. His son would be next in line. But if you have no son, it ended his priesthood. So there was a reason he was praying that. "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Think about that. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Keep that in mind. He's going to be filled with Holy Spirit, even in the womb, before he's born. We want to make sure we keep that in mind because we want to see when does that happen. This is prophecy. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to Yahweh, their Elohim. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom and of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. So what is his main job? He's going to prepare the people for Yahweh. Think about that. Zechariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man." Could have come sooner. I'm an old man. And my wife is well stricken in years. So that statement right there is a doubt. That's a doubt statement. I understand what you're saying, but you see what you've got to deal with? And the angel answered and said unto him, he didn't say this at the beginning, but he's going to let him know who he is. "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of Elohim." If you want to know where I was before I got here, I was standing in the presence of God. I was there. So I understand what I'm telling you. You don't understand, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. The messenger came. And I stand in the presence of Elohim, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these good news. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Think about that. Which shall be fulfilled in their season. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to wait for the word. It's fulfilled in its season. How many know when we want it? We all want it yesterday. But sometimes the word gets fulfilled in its season. And you got to be patient. You got to hang in there. And God will do what he said he's going to do. If he said it, you can count on it. I'm with you. But the enemy's around me. I'm with you. They're getting closer, Lord. I'm with you. That's something that we got to get a hold to. Now notice this. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he had tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the day of his ministration were accomplished. So what is that? The course. Administration is the course. He stayed for so long, it was over. Someone took his place, and he went, took that walk home. Think about it. His ministration was accomplished. He departed to his own house. Where's his house at? Well, it was a distance. Got to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. That's what happens when the guy comes home who's been gone a while. Everybody get my point? And hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus had Yahweh dealt with me in the day wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Because it was reproach for a woman not to bear her husband a son. So he took it away from me. Isn't that amazing? All this is significant. I don't have time to deal with every significant point, but I'm going to give the highlights that I can. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Elohim unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. So the angel gets sent again to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Is that true? Well, of course, I read to you the birth narratives. I read to you the genealogy. And we got David in there, the house of David. To a virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Thank you, Lord. Hail, thou art highly favored. Now watch this. Yahweh is with thee. Now, haven't we been saying that? I just want you to know, Yahweh is with thee. Now watch this. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Elohim. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua. Think about that. This is all definite. This is what's going to happen. It's not I'm thinking along these lines. No, thou shalt. Think about it. Verse 32, and he shall be great. Who are we talking about now? Talking about Yeshua, Jesus. We're talking about him. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now, if you're the Son of the Highest, are you the Highest? I'm going to ask that again because some folks think they mean the same. If you're the Son of the Highest, are you the Highest? And let me tell you, sometimes you can read the Bible and it don't make sense to Christians because they have believed what man said. That's why. Well, I don't know about this. Pastor Jesse said, don't matter what Pastor Jesse says, it matters what the Bible says. Remember that. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now, we called him Yeshua. His name, and he's Emmanuel. And now, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Think about that. Now, I'm going to ask you something. This is a qualifying statement. He's the Son of the Highest. Is there anyone past that? Is there anyone above the Highest? If I'm telling you a statement that me and Jake was climbing on a mountain and he got the Highest, well, who was above him? You understand? He got the Highest. This is simple English. Highest means highest. I mean, we can't split hairs here. He won. Do you understand that? Son of the Highest. There's nobody else. And he's the Son of that one. His name's Yahweh. He's the Son of God. Think about that. And Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him, meaning Jesus, the throne of his father, David. Why David's his father? Because of the seed that was protected the whole way through. Same line, that line. He comes from the line of the tribe of Judah. Think about that. And there was mixtures all through there. I mean, you know, when stuff goes broke and we don't know what to do with it, God come in and fix it. And it's not about blood, natural blood. It's about understanding the plan and purpose of God and adhering to the plan and know the rules. Because if you know the rules and you apply yourself to those rules, God, no matter what's going on in your life, God can change that and you still can be applicable to the plan of God. And that's important. We see that throughout the Bible. Yahweh's Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now notice this. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. His kingdom there shall be no end. Think about that. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She's saying, I've never been with a man. So I'm a virgin. and you say, I'm going to have a son, she's old enough to understand that that doesn't work. How shall this be? See, and I know not. That's her question. It's a great question. How is this possible? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. And the power of the, there's that word again, highest. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Think about that. When God gets ready to initiate the plan and put it in motion, he does it himself. The power is from the who? Highest. There's nobody else. So he's trying to let us know throughout this narrative, he's trying to let us know, if you want to know how I fixed humanity, I did it. The highest, the power of the highest. Think about that. Therefore also that holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of Yahweh. So who's with me? He shall be called Yeshua. Emmanuel, Yeshua, Yeshua, Son of the Highest, Son of David, Son of Yahweh. Wow. You get that? At the end, he's just letting them know, he's my son. Think about that. My son. Can the son, because that would make Yahweh his what? His father. Is the son greater than his father? Who comes first? The father or the son? Think about that. Very important. And behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. This is the 6th month with her who is called barren. So she's 6 months pregnant. For with Elohim, nothing shall be impossible. I mean, see that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of Yahweh, be it unto me according to thy word. What did she do? She had to take his word and say, whatever you just said, be it unto me. I'm not going to fight it. Whatever it is, I accept your word. Think about that. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? Oh, there was prophecy earlier said that the angel said to Zechariah, the baby is going to be filled with Holy Spirit in the womb. That just happened. Are we all here still? Think about that. Stay focused on this, because these things are happening. And so now this prophecy is fulfilled right there. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Loud, she said it. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my sovereign should come to me? Whoa. Think about that. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my sovereign should come to me? Great question. Think about that. I'm going to read the next verse and we're going to talk about it. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Think about that. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from Yahweh. Now think about that. My sovereign. So Elizabeth instantly accepted that what was happening in Mary's womb was going to be her salvation. Think about that. Instantly, she said, the mother of my salvation. Think about that. My sovereign, the one I should follow, the one I should listen to what he says, should come to me. The mother, the one that's going to bear the one that I'm going to have to abide by his words. Think you ought to, that ought to do something for you. You have to understand that this is an event that happened, and people are saying, Lord, this is amazing stuff. Now watch what she says. Blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from Yahweh. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify Yahweh. Now who she's magnifying? Yahweh, the father of the one that's in her womb. Isn't that amazing? My spirit hath rejoiced in Elohim, my Savior. Ultimately, who's the Savior? Yahweh. And he shows his salvation through him giving of himself through the Son. Amazing story. Now watch this, for verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of my handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them from low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He had helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, what was he doing? He said, what I just did, I even the odds. I cleaned the slate, I even the odds. It doesn't matter who you are, what you position, what your title is, what your last name is, I just even the odds. He said, no, but nothing can get you there unless you go through what's about to be born. But the scripture I just read to you, he just cleaned the slate. He said, the odds have been even. The one that's rich, they go away empty. The one that had nothing, they're filled. Because he said, everything's even now. Now, whosoever, doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what country you grew up in, doesn't matter. If you want eternal life, it's going to come through Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what he was saying. So it's been evened out. Now watch this. Now Elizabeth, full time came that she should be delivered and brought forth a son. So full time for her to be delivered. So let's say a woman's pregnant for 9 months. At 6 months, Mary became pregnant. And she went over and told her the good news and all that stuff. So she stayed there 3 months. And then she goes home, and Elizabeth now is delivered. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how Yahweh had showed great mercy upon her. And they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. But his mother answered and said, not so, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made sign to her, to his father, how he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosened, and he spake and praised Elohim. I'm sure after you get struck in with dumbness, the first thing you want to do is praise, and that's what he did. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What man of child shall this be? And Yahweh's hand was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people and had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemy and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our father and to remember his holy covenant. And the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemy, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Notice that, the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of Yahweh and prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now you have to understand, this is the first time that this type of wording is spoken of. We're talking about remission of sin? Why? Because a Savior is on the way. He's on the way. Through the tender mercy of our Elohim, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us. Now, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. To do what? Give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. To guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So that's the reading of the text. Now I'm going to start preaching. All right. So I was trying to get through the text. Now, so hopefully everybody's seen that. I'm going to take some time if we can. Maybe the next couple of weeks we might be able to touch on this. But just think about, I gave some information, lots of information to you in this text. The beginning part of this is of importance. So I'm going to probably let this be a starting point in Genesis. Because what we're going to talk about here is, why did God have to sin, have to cause birth of a son? Why did he do that? What's the point in it? And he talks about it in Genesis and brings us on through. But I talked about the course of Abijah, Zechariah, and all that was very important. We talked about Elizabeth, the time she got pregnant, and when Mary visited her. All of those things are important. I often wondered, why is in there nobody really reads Luke in that account? We don't spend the time. Let me tell you why. Because Yeshua was not born December 25th. That shouldn't shock a lot of you in here, but some of you might be shocked. That he was not born December 25th at all, according to Scripture. And so we don't have a date. So why pick December 25th? Because it was the solstice. It was a pagan system that people were used to celebrating. And when Constantine, this is a short version, when Constantine began to declare Christianity throughout the Roman Empire, he said, why don't we adapt this to be, and we'll call it Christmas. And then that's where that thing took on from there. This history goes way past that. Way past that. For thousands of years, for at least 2,000 years, they were celebrating that before Christ came on the scene. Before that. And I seem to think it goes even deeper than that, because I believe I can tie it scripturally and historically, I can tie it to Nimrod. So that's 4,000. So you think about that, that goes back into 3,000-something years. That's a lot of time. A lot of time that we have to understand that. So we have 1,000 years, so 3,000 years of something that people are used to doing, and understand, outside of God, not by God's command, and then you just see it, it's got a strong way of pulling people, and so you adopt that. It was adopted. December 25th was adopted by the church and said, that's what we'll do. We'll celebrate it. And so, What do we learn about our reading today? Well, we learn that Zechariah was a high priest. We learn that Zechariah had a course. His course was Abijah, the eighth course. And so he took his course. And when the time he finished his course, and we count the time that his course was, we can't give him no exact date. There is no exact. And you know what? I don't think God, if he wanted us to know an exact date of Jesus' birth, he'd have gave us the day. But don't believe it's the 25th of December, because that's a lie. And I don't want you believing what man says. We're here to learn what we're told by Yeshua, and he speaks the words of God, so that's it. So understand that. I don't want you believing that it's the 25th of December, because it's not. And there's no mention of it in Scripture, nor does he give an exact day. There's no exact day. Okay? So what we can deduce from Scripture is that if we try to figure out when Jesus was born, he said the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night. At night, in that time, you wouldn't want to be out in the field keeping watch over your flock. There's a reason they were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks, and they would do it at night, and they'd stay with them. Normally, in the wintertime, they would graze in the day and bring all the stuff in at night because it was too cold for the animals and them. So what they did, it was a time of celebration. Herod said that all should be taxed. Everybody was going to be taxed. He said this is a good time to do the taxation because they're already here for a festival. They're already in town for the feast. Name one feast that's on the 25th of December. None. So we seduce from Scripture that Jesus' birth probably took place around the time of Sukkot. In Sukkot, that's when they're already in what? Sukkot. They're out in the open air, and that would make sense that they're keeping watch over their flocks by night. Because they're out exposed in the elements. That would make sense that there's no room in the inn. No room in the inn. So what time would that on the Gregorian calendar fit? That would be in the September, October time. That's around the time. So can I tell you when he was born? No, because the Scripture doesn't say. But deducing from the text of what it tells us, and I just read it to you, the course of Zechariah and Abijah, we go back and we know that she became pregnant when Elizabeth was 6 months. So then she's pregnant. Then John's born. We count the months, and we suppose that she had a 9-month pregnancy also. Give a week or two. Still, we're in that Sukkot time. So I'd rather, if I'm going to do anything, I'm probably going to stick with what Jesus says to celebrate as he celebrated the feast. He said, and then Paul said, let us celebrate the feast. Jesus was there celebrating the feast. We probably need to stick with that. And I know that upset some carts, but I'm not here to upset carts. I'm here to tell the truth. I'm here to deliver you the message. We're going to follow his words. We're going to follow them all the way. We don't want to just pick and choose. I'm going to follow God's words here, but this I'm going to do my thing because everybody's doing it. That's not what he said. These are his words. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So I just want you to know that I don't have time to do the entirety. Take some time. I already preached the message. There's a title message called The Christmas Story You Don't Want to Hear. I think it's that. You can listen to that. Also the Truth and Tradition series, you can look at that. I deal with both Easter and Christmas on those things. You can access them on the archives. You can go on there and just access them. I don't have time to do that, but I hope that what I read today, we deduce from Scripture that it didn't happen then. And listen, if you think I planned this out, I didn't. I was talking to Pastor Josh. I said, listen, it just so happened, birth narratives right off the bat. That's what we're going to be dealing with in the beginning of the words of Jesus. And it happened at this time of the year. I couldn't, if I tried to plan it, and I couldn't have done it that good. I finished the series, and I'm starting to go and say, oh boy, somebody ain't going to like this. But here, listen to me. It's not me up here saying stuff that you like or don't like. I'm here to just explain to you what the Bible says. Give you the words that is spoken, and you do whatever it is that you feel that you need to do. We have made zero demands on anybody changing anything here. You do it at your time when you want. Because I can't get up here and fear the people more than I fear God. Do you understand that? I have to deliver the message regardless. That's my job. Deliver the message to you. You have to then go and say, Lord, why have we done this for so long? Ask that question, and you do whatever it is the Lord wants you to do. Will we treat you any different? No, I'm not going to treat you any different. Do I love you? I absolutely love you. But here's the thing. The more you know the truth, the more the... What is the job of John was? To bring them from darkness to light. That's what we're here for. We've been in darkness for a lot of things. We're going to the light. We want to see. When you put the light on, you see stuff you didn't even know was there. So you can live for God in darkness. You don't see a whole lot. You don't really feel any conviction. But the light comes on, all of a sudden you see, well, I didn't know that was there. You know, because the light comes to it. When the light comes to it, it changes everything. So we're going to start back in Genesis, and we're going to take you through the slow process of there's a reason why Yeshua is born. He said, I'll raise you up a prophet from among your brethren. The man, Yeshua Messiah, I'll raise up a prophet from among your brethren. I just read to you in Matthew about the brethren, the begets. That's all the brethren. He raised up a prophet from the brethren. Just what he said he would do. So all the prophecies, all of it's going to come. But I really appreciate this time today. I appreciate you being attentive to the word. And my prayer is that you, as individuals, seek out truth. What sets people free? Truth. Not continuing year after year after year doing the same thing, hearing the same messages. So I just wanted you to know that this is important for you as a believer. If you're a follower of Christ, I can tell you you're going to be hard pressed to explain to him how is it that you celebrated something he never told you to do. You're going to be hard pressed to do that. Trust me, you will be hard pressed. But you can just say, Lord, what I want to do is what you want. Does it separate you? That's why he said, come out from among them and be separate. Be holy. You're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. I've chosen you. Think about that. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Does that mean anything to anybody anymore? That you've been chosen by God. God's picked you. He loves his people. He loves us. If he didn't love us, he would have just left us in our sin and given no way. But he made a way. And we're talking about that way today. John was sent to prepare the way, and then he made the way. And Mary is now pregnant with Yeshua HaMashiach, and she's going to give birth. Going to have a son. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to continue down this path. We're going to start with Genesis, and our Genesis reading is going to deal with Genesis and Romans. Very, very, very important to hear that Genesis account and Romans 5 account. The Romans 5 account explains it in detail. So our goal is we give you the historic reading, the context of it, then we pull out the verses that people from the Tanakh and from the New Testament and kind of lay them together and say, that's why he did it. We needed a Savior. So I appreciate you.